getting you started on another work week with the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch and our Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Busy, busy. It's a couple of hours that we take you up till 6 o'clock. We've got Kevin Bowen, who will be joining us. Colts camp getting started this week. And, of course, there's news from the Indianapolis Colts. We'll talk about that with Kevin Bowen coming up at 4:35. Also in our next hour, it's our weekly visit with TinCast manager Anthony Contreras. He will join us around 5:20 this afternoon. Of course, we're back in the studio after being out on the road, kind of Caleb's first road experience with the Sports Rush. We spent Friday out at High School Football Media Day and got a chance to interview a number of the coaches, a chance to visit with some of the coaches, see all the players. First experience, Caleb, at High School Football Media Day. Some of your thoughts, some of your impressions of what it was like out there.
It went fast. I was busy. That was about it.
It does. I mean, I was trying to tell you guys before it starts, it's like that 2 hours just breezes by. I mean, it's very quick, fast-paced, and you go coach after coach after coach, and you're trying to snag them out of a line because there's multiple TV stations that are out there. And if you ever wonder during the season when you have highlight packages and they put a profile photo of one of the athletes or one of the coaches onto the TV screen, that generally is something that came from Media Day, because a lot of the top players, the ones who are going to be projected starters, many of them are there for Media Day. Most of the coaches were there. A couple of coaches were holdouts. Won't name any names, but we had a couple of coaches that decided not to show up for Media Day. Don't know why. Not sure if they turn in their excuse. Glenn Marini did a great job. Wayne 15, he kind of puts this together with coordinating the times and the facilities and making sure all the teams are notified, making sure everybody gets there. And it's a major undertaking. But the place was decked out nice. Parkview Sports Medicine was the host this year. Tommy and company did a great job in putting together Empower Sports Club with decorations, with the tables, the chairs. They got us our space so that we were able to broadcast. Shannon Griffith, the coach, who joins me on the high school football game of the week, he was there. He talked to, 10, 11 coaches or so in his couple of hours. And we've got a special that's going to be coming up here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. It's going to feature high school football. It's a preseason special presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic. We're going to have that show sometime just before the season gets underway, and it's going to feature up to like 20 coaches from the area. And we'll go through, break down conference by conference, what we expect from each team. Coaches will tell us about their teams. You'll get it all in one, all-inclusive special. It comes up just before the season starts, and a lot of that was from our conversations that we had with coaches on Friday at High School Football Media Day. I always enjoy it. One of the best conversations I had was with Carroll coach Doug Dinan, who was telling me some of the amenities that are coming with that press box out of Carroll. And, you know, Caleb, it's been a topic of discussion on this show about Carroll's press box and the fact that they're a 6A program with not even a 1A quality press box. And in fact, the facilities have not kept up with what 6A football is in the state of Indiana. They finally got it done, and they've got a beautiful, beautiful field. In fact, it may rank right up there at the top of all our area football fields as far as parking accessibility. They added parking around the stadium. They added new concession stands. I think they've got locker rooms there. They've got a beautiful press box, and Coach Dinan was telling me about it. I can't wait to get to Carroll. In fact, I'm so excited about it. We're going to put Carroll first week on the schedule. We're going to just go ahead and say, Carroll, we're coming. We want to be there for the debut of this beautiful new stadium. We're planning on being out there. There could be a roadblock between now and then, but hopefully there's not. We're going to be at Carroll to start the season as Bishop Luers visit the Carroll Chargers in week one of the high school football season. It is only 3 weeks from Friday, we'll have our opening week. Hard to believe it's only 3 weeks from Friday, but that's what it is. 4 weeks from Friday when we were out at Media Day. I also was somewhat ambushed out there, Caleb. I guess I did not realize with the year that we've had, because it's been kind of an unprecedented year, I did not realize that we had not had anyone from the TV side other than Justin Prince the other day. And of course, all the other TV people noticed that I invited Justin to be on the show, but have not invited them to come back and make a return visit. And I think a couple of them I've had on the show maybe once. So I promised them we would have TV week this week and that we would feature everybody from the TV side. So we're going to have some of our guests this week will be your TV sports anchors that you see on TV every night. Not sure what we're going to talk about, but we're going to have them on the show just so they don't get on my case before high school football season starts. So we'll line that up. And I know guys like Zach Groth, Peter Hood, and we'll see who's willing to come on the show, who wants to come on the show. We'll try to get them in. Of course, it's always a tough time. And that's the thing is we haven't had them because I always figure right before 6 o'clock, leading up to 6 o'clock, they're putting together some type of sports report for the 6 o'clock news. Now, I know WFFT doesn't have a 6 o'clock news, which is why I had Justin Prince, because I knew he didn't have to prepare until a later news at 10 o'clock that night. But I always feel kind of guilty asking him to come on just before they have their moment on TV, which is all of like 3 minutes. But I guess they are feeling a little bit overlooked. And so I'm going to try to have them on this week and make it TV week here at the Sports Rush as we count down to the start, not only of the high school football season, but also Colts camp getting underway. That starts this week. Plenty of news coming out of Colts camp today. They haven't even started camp officially, and there's already news coming out of Colts camp. And Major League Baseball, we keep expecting all these blockbuster trades. Is Max Scherzer going to get dealt? How many players are the Cubs going to get deals for? Are the Cubs going to be the big sellers at the trade deadline? It's only a few days away, Caleb. We haven't heard a lot of big splashes, but the Padres did. A.J. Preller, he's been aggressive. The Padres were one of the first ones to jump in and make a fairly significant trade as they go and get the Pirates' Adam Frazier. Tell you, if you ever shop, you know, like sometimes you say, I'm going shopping. If there's ever a store you want to start at, the Pirates would be that store if you're a Major League Baseball team. You go and shop their roster first because you know the Pirates are always sellers. Anybody that's got value is available because they don't want to pay them. And so Adam Frazier, who is hitting over 300 this year, he has been traded to the San Diego Padres. Now, we don't know exactly where the Padres plan on using him, if there'll be a rotation between infield and outfield, how he'll be utilized. He's been playing primarily second base for the Pirates, but he's second in the league, I think, in total hits, in all of baseball, I believe, in total hits. And the Padres picked him up last night for Tucapita Marcano, Jack Sawinski, and Michelle Miliano. Miliano is actually a current tin cap, or was, as of this trade happening. And remember last week when I talked to Anthony Contreras about, you know, trade deadlines, or actually we talked to Mike Nutter about it, trade deadlines and how it impacts players, because the Padres being buyers right now, trying to bring talent into the parent club, that means guys that are playing in the minor league system, including the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, could be guys that would be dealt in return to bring that major league star into San Diego. And we've already seen it happen as one of the Tin Caps pitchers gets plucked and heads to the Pirates organization. Jack Sawinski was here. Tucapita Marcano was here. Marcano just got a chance to play with the Padres earlier this year, part of the 260 to the show. Sawinski, I believe, was at AAA playing for El Paso, the Chihuahuas, and now he goes to the Pirates. The only good thing there is Jack Sawinski's father, who lives in the Chicago area, was one of the most regular parent visitors when Jack played for the Tin Caps because he could make that quick 3-hour drive from Chicago and catch a lot of Tin Caps baseball games. And so now he's going to have the chance to see Jack in AAA, not in El Paso, Texas, but in Indianapolis. Indianapolis is the AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. So I guess that will work out well for the Swinsky family, but that's kind of the first deal, and we keep waiting to see who are the names that are going to go next. For the Cubs, is it going to be Chris Bryant? Are they holding out to see who the best offer is going to come from? What about Craig Kimbrel? Got to think that he might be a possible trade candidate. Wilson Contreras, will they trade the catcher? I don't think they'll trade Baez, although I think almost anybody probably is available for the right price, but I don't think they'll trade Rizzo. Those two would surprise me, but we'll see what the Cubs end up doing as they're expected to be a seller coming up here on the trade deadline. So the Comets have been active. Haven't heard much from the Kelly Cup champs since they won the ECHL championship, but the Comets have made some signings. They've got five players that they announced that are signed, and maybe it's just as interesting names that aren't on this list. But Anthony Petrocelli, Zach Pachiro, Blake Siebenhaller, you also have Cooper, Oliver Cooper, who is on the list, the rookie that came in and played so well, had that huge goal for the Comets. Coney had that one. He called Cooper to play and come off. It was that against Wichita in the Wichita series? I think it was Wichita instead of Allen. But Cooper came in and played well. And then also they've signed a rookie defenseman, DJ King. So Petrozelli, Pachiro, Siebenhaller, Cooper, and a rookie defenseman, DJ King, whose father played in the NHL, are all signed. And then they mention qualifying offers. Goaltenders Robbie Badoon and Stefanos Lekas. Also offers to Anthony Nellis, Matt Bowdens, Stephen Harper, Nick Boca, Matt Murphy, and Marcus McIver. They've all been extended offers. Not named on this list, AJ Jenks and Sean Sidlowski. Not sure what that means.
Would not be surprised if Sidlowski and or Jenks retire.
Well, maybe they've been talking to Aaron Rodgers. That story just continues to evolve. It's almost like Rodgers sits at home right now trying to figure out what he can say, what he can do to try to make news. But anyway, the Comets starting to put together their team for next season, and Petrozelli, Pachiro, Siebenhaller, and Cooper all returning from the Kelly Cup champions. We're going to take a break. We've got some fun planned today. We've got tickets to give away. We'll tell you what's on the line and how you can win coming up here on the Sports Rush. Also, we'll give you news about Colts camp. Big news as the Colts get set to start their 2021 season. That comes up, Kevin Bowen at 4:35. It's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Questions, comments, or suggestions? Over the weekend, spent some time out at Parkview Field. The Tin Caps won Friday's game, but then came back and lost both Saturday and Sunday to the Dayton Dragons, a Cincinnati Reds affiliate. So once again, the Tin Caps prove they are a streaky ball club. Win three, lose two. They just keep going in kind of groups. They get hot, they win a few, then they lose a few. And it's been kind of that way all season long. This weekend, though, it was kind of tough because they ended up losing a couple of players that have been starting for them. Juwan Harris out in center field and Seamus Curran, the first baseman, the big power-hitting first baseman, the Padres announced on Saturday, that both players had been released from the Padres organization, which means essentially they pack their bags here in Fort Wayne and go look for a job. They're being let go. And it's a tough reality in the business is that it's a numbers game and you only have so many spots available in your minor league system. And when you have all these guys you draft and then you go out and sign non-drafted free agents, those are all players that need to have spots available to them in the minor leagues. And when you only have so many spots that Major League Baseball allows you to have, every player that gets signed could be taking the spot of someone who's currently in the organization. And so The Tin Caps lost a couple of players just like that. And then, as fate would have it, Juwan Harris, who's been the regular center fielder, he doesn't play on Saturday and Sunday. And both games on Saturday and Sunday, a key play that led to the loss was because of a defensive miscue in center field. And that was the one thing, Juwan Harris, he wasn't hitting much at all, hitting around, I think, 150-ish. But I'll tell you this, he could cover the ground out in center field. He could make plays in center field. He had a glove, but struggled with the bat. And eventually it gave the Padres the opportunity to let him go. But the Tin Caps missed his defense over the weekend. 468-62, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. So the Colts are getting set to open camp, and they are going to have to do it without their head coach. This is a unique situation. This hasn't really happened before, where a head coach not available to greet his team and to get camp started. But the Indianapolis Colts announced on Monday that head coach Frank Reich has tested positive for COVID-19 and is currently in quarantine outside of the Grand Park Sports Campus. Reich said in a statement, "I'm excited for training camp. However, I'm disappointed I won't be there with the team as we start. I'm fortunate to be fully vaccinated and I'm asymptomatic. I'm feeling well and looking forward to returning as soon as I'm medically cleared." Now, I've seen so many comments on this that just sends me up a wall. First of all, let's talk about what the vaccine is and what it is not. And here's what I came up with as the best analogy. Think of a police officer that knows he has the risk at any time of facing someone with a weapon, with a gun that could shoot. And when you have those types of situations, what do? You protect yourself with a bulletproof vest. Putting on a bulletproof vest doesn't necessarily mean someone won't shoot you. Doesn't mean that you're going to go out and not face somebody that potentially has a gun. And it doesn't mean you're not going to be shot. You could still be shot when you wear a bulletproof vest. The bulletproof vest provides protection so that that shot to the chest is not fatal. It keeps you alive. You might get hit in the arms. You might get hit in the legs, and in some cases, you might be somewhat seriously injured, but you can stay alive. In many cases, the wounds might be superficial, or the bullet might not hurt you at all. That's basically what a vaccine is doing to protect you from COVID-19. You still are going to go out and be exposed to the virus. There are others that are going to be sharing the virus in the air. You can't avoid being exposed to it. That means that you could get some of the virus into your system. What happens when you get the virus? Well, since you've got the protection, much like the bulletproof vest, it shouldn't cause a serious injury or a fatal injury. You try to keep people from dying, and the statistics are showing overwhelmingly that most of the people that are vaccinated that still test positive for COVID, and yes, that does happen, are not hospitalized, nor are they dying. The people that are losing their lives still from COVID and are mostly the ones hospitalized are overwhelmingly the non-vaccinated individuals. So here you've got Frank Reich. He caught COVID. He got tested positive for COVID. Most people, probably in Frank Reich's position, would not have even known they had COVID, except he had to go through a mandatory testing. That's the only reason he found out he had it, because he's got no symptoms for it. And it's had the same's happened with guys like John Rahm, who just tested positive for COVID a second time. Now everybody's going to say, how could you test positive for COVID again? It isn't that he's showing symptoms of COVID. It's that there was COVID that was identified in his system. It may be that he's got enough antibodies, and with the vaccine, he will show no signs of being sick. He won't be impacted by it at all as far as his own personal health, but when you check the system, you're going to find that little virus hanging around, and he ends up getting a positive test. That's why I think we're almost to a point where you have to test people who have been vaccinated differently than you test people who have not been vaccinated, because a vaccinated person who gets the virus is less likely to share it to others, is less likely to have a high quantity of the virus, and generally will have a shorter term illness with much greater reduced symptoms than the person who's not been vaccinated. And so Frank Reich didn't know he had COVID, goes and gets the mandatory test, and he comes back positive. But as he said, I'm fortunate to be fully vaccinated and I'm asymptomatic, meaning no symptoms. How big of an impact is this at the start of camp when the Colts opted not to have the OTA during the middle of the summer? They ended up skipping that to come and start everything at camp. Is this an issue for the Colts? I don't think it will be, because I think he will still be, since he's healthy, he will still be able to, from a remote location, organize camp, probably have Zoom meetings with coaches to discuss the type of things that he wants to get accomplished at each camp. And in the NFL, you've got, what, 15 coaches or so that can take care of business for the couple of days that Frank Reich won't be there. But my expectation would be that Frank Reich's not going to be out that long, because according to the NFL protocols, as a vaccinated individual, all he has to do is have two negative tests within a 24-hour period, and he can come back. And so he'll probably wait 3 or 4 days, get his couple of negative tests, and wouldn't surprise me if a day or two after the Colts get started, which actually starts on Wednesday, if maybe by Friday or so, Frank Reich is back at Colts camp. But is this any impact on the Colts product?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he'll miss a couple of days. He could be back, I think, as early as Monday. So I don't think this is going to have much of an impact. Now, if this were to happen during the season, yes, there would be a lot of impact.
Yeah. And if it were to happen where he would have symptoms that would require medical assistance, where it would take him completely out of the loop. In this case, though, it sounds to me like he won't be physically at Grand Park, but he will be greatly involved with the start of training camp, whether that's through leading Zoom meetings or being on Zoom while the players are having their meetings. I don't know. You know, the Colts are one of the lowest percentage vaccinated teams in the NFL, and I don't know if this will encourage players to get vaccinated. It's going to be a concern. And the reason it's a concern, because some people say, oh, we don't want to hear about COVID. We don't want to hear about vaccines. Yes, you do, because this is going to impact sports, because right now protocols are being set up that could make things more difficult on the Colts than perhaps other teams that have very high vaccination rates, and that the Colts could potentially end up losing games, forfeiting, if they have any kind of outbreak of COVID, because they've got such a high percentage of unvaccinated players. So, you know, it could make a difference, and it is something to keep an eye on. You'd hate to see the Colts not make the playoffs because they forfeit a couple of games because they didn't have players that had the vaccine, which, you know, at this point, you know, you got to do what you got to do to support your team, to be part of the program. And, you know, it just kind of drives me crazy that there's so many false narratives out there involving this. And, as far as the health and safety of it, or as far as the conspiracy of it, you know, it's going to be better for everything if we all have the vaccine. But it shouldn't be mandated, shouldn't be told you have to have it. Although, here's the other thing. We grew up, you couldn't go to school unless you had certain vaccines. And so your parents had to take you, mom usually, took you to the shots, to the super shot or to the doctor to get your shots to keep up on your vaccines. Because if you didn't have those shots, you couldn't be admitted into school. So we've already had the government telling us, as we've grown up, most of the people that are out there complaining about what the government can and can't say, yeah, I get that. But also, it's been going on your whole life. It really has. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. All right, so Caleb, I know I sent you something. We're gonna play a little game, and what we're gonna do right now is just basically give you an idea of how the game is gonna work. And next hour we're gonna play. We've got tickets. Is this Counting Crows? Is that
Black Crows?
Black Crows. Sorry, Black Crows. I didn't get my list, so I don't know. It's not in front of me.
So it's this Sunday, August 1st at Ruoff Music Center. So okay. North side of Indy off I-69.
Okay, so we have what, two tickets?
We have, so we're doing these all week, but yes, winner today and every day this week will get a pair of tickets.
Okay, so we're going to give you a chance to finish the lyrics. Okay, all you have to do is be able to finish the lyrics. We're going to start a popular song, stop it, you'll have to finish the lyrics. Now, Caleb, let's go ahead, just run that straight through, and here are today's songs. Oh, and then you got to finish it. Here's song number two. Okay, and how about song number three?
Mama just killed a man.
Who hasn't sung this song?
Put a gun against his head.
Ooh, that's kind of a quick one, and it stops. There's your three songs. So we'll give you a cue and have you play a chance to win tickets to the concert down, what is it, Noblesville? Where's that concert at?
Noblesville, Ruoff Music Center.
Okay, and it comes up this weekend? Is that right?
Sunday at 7:30.
Wow, that's quick. So we'll give you a chance to play coming up later in the show. We'll take a break. We've got Kevin Bowen joining us from 1075thefan.com. We'll talk about this Frank Reich situation. We'll talk about the Colts and any question marks going into camp. It comes up next. Kevin Bowen joins us on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. Our Parkview Sports Medicine text line is 46862. Questions, comments, or suggestions? Got a text in. Let's go get the vaccine, guys. Don't want to get the virus like Coach. Oh, wait, Brett, you're such a sheep. See, that's the thing, is why is there vaccine shaming? Why to do something to try to help society and help others and maybe protect your own health in the process? Why are we calling people out? Let them make their decision. If they get the virus or get the vaccine, good for them. If they don't, give them the facts and let them make their decision. And I don't know what is so difficult about that. Frank Reich did have the vaccine, and you can still test positive for COVID because it doesn't mean it's not in the air and it might not end up in your system. But what we did find with Frank Reich is that the vaccine hopefully helped with him not getting symptoms, not being seriously ill, not being hospitalized, or even worse. Let's talk about how this impacts the Colts. Joining us right now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline from 1075thefan.com down in Indianapolis, it is Kevin Bowen. That's the big news, I guess, today, Kevin. Frank Reich tests positive for COVID-19. Does it mean anything?
Well, yeah, I guess it depends on who you ask. You know, as far as, like, coaching on the field for the next four practices, it looks like he's going to miss Wednesday through Saturday. Should be back next Monday. You know, the one thought that immediately came to my head, Brett, when this all happened was, what does it mean for Carson Wentz? You know, I don't want to act like, you know, it's a bigger story than it really is, but, you know, we know full well why the Colts made this trade for Carson Wentz to work with Frank Reich, and his coach not being there for the first 4 days of camp. Yeah, you probably only put full pads on for one of those days. But, I mean, it is 4 days. I mean, that's, you know, about a fourth or fifth of the time that you're up there. So, you know, that would be my only kind of little bit of concern. Now, full well, Frank Reich's going to see all this practice footage. Hell, if I had the Colts, if it was allowed, I'd have Frank Reich mic'd up somehow, and he could tell Carson Wentz, you know, he can kind of provide his thoughts during practice and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, those are all, that was probably the biggest thing that I thought about. Besides that, you know, I don't think this makes a huge difference on, you know, your win or loss record this season.
What about the Colts as a whole? After the news, the NFL is going to, charge teams a forfeit if there is an outbreak, and a lot of that is going to be based on the number of unvaccinated players that they have. The Colts near the bottom of the NFL as far as the percentage of vaccinated players. Does Frank Reich picking this thing up, does it mean anything, or does the rule mean anything? Is it going to increase the vaccination rate for Colts? Are you hearing anything regarding that?
You know, right now the Colts are a little bit above 60% with guys that have had one shot. So about 30 guys on their team have not been vaccinated at all, not even one shot. And if you look at the NFL right now, that number is about 83%. So the Colts are near the bottom. Again, my first thought when this happened was, is this going to keep, you know, the unvaccinated guys, you know, away from getting vaccinated? Them saying, hey, look, you can be vaccinated, you can still test positive. Now, Chris Ballard, who we heard from earlier today, he would counter and say, this is why you get vaccinated, because you are asymptomatic. You know, you aren't, whatever, sick, and you can, you know, do your job virtually and then can come back to work in a little bit of a quicker manner than you could this time last year when you didn't have the vaccine. So, you know, it's all going to be on just how players kind of handle that. I mean, the Colts have really, really low numbers. It's grown a bit recently. I think a big reason why it's grown is because, and I don't know if I've made this analogy to you, Brett, but I've made this analogy on our airwaves. If you look at the protocols for vaccinated players and what they're allowed to do work-wise this year and unvaccinated players, it's like being in the fraternity or being a pledge in the fraternity. I mean, if you look at it, you're going to get tested every day if you're unvaccinated. You're not sitting with your friends at lunch. You got to travel differently. You know, all of those things is just much, much different. If you are vaccinated, you get tested every 2 weeks. And, you know, you travel in the team charter, and you just don't have the same stringent protocols. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to come to forfeit, though. I've gotten that question a lot. I mean, the NFL didn't have a game forfeited last year, and that was with, you know, no vaccine, and, you know, every player pretty much on the same level. This year, I expect it to be, you know, really the same. Yeah, you're going to maybe swap bye weeks and things like that, but I just don't think we're going to go down that road. I don't think that's wishful thinking on my part either. I just, you know, maybe you're going to have a player or two, but like we saw with the Frank Reich thing today, you know, he tests positive, but, you know, no one else is a close contact to him. So, or, you know, no one else has tested positive because of him. So, yeah, you know, I don't think we're going to get into the forfeit aspect of it.
We were talking at the end of last week here on our station about the biggest questions for the Colts that need to be answered during training camp. And, of course, Carson Wentz is first and foremost. The Colts season hinges a lot on the production of Carson Wentz. But once you get past that, the second most popular question that we had was, where will the Colts pass rush come from? Who's going to play? Who's going to provide it? Where is that on your list of most important questions heading into camp?
Yeah, Carson Wentz is one, and that is 1A for me. It's extremely high. Yeah, Eric Fisher, who starts the left tackle, sure. You know, depth of linebacker, yeah, you know, we can throw some other Paris Campbell's injury history, sure. But to me, proven pass rush is a major question mark. You take out DeForest Buckner off this defensive line, no one across that unit has had 10 sacks or more in their entire career. Not for a single season, in their entire career. Kamoko Ture, 9.5 sacks. Notre Dame product, Isaac Rochelle, 9.5 sacks. Again, for their career. So you just lack experience, disruptive pass rushers. And also, I feel like it's easier to kind of take away an interior pass rusher than it is kind of an edge guy a bit. You know, when you're an edge guy, you got to chip. You got to, you know, kind of got to keep a skill player in the interior. You can commit kind of to your interior guys and really take that guy like Buckner away. And if you look at Buckner's season last year, you know, he was very productive, but really he was super productive in like 4 or 5 games against some bottom feeders. So I think the better offenses, the better teams in the NFL, they were able to limit him and take him away. So I think that's the biggest question to me. You know, I asked Chris Ballard today, I was like, you know, what are the position battles you're watching? Defensive end was the first one that he mentioned. You know, those two starting jobs are really open, and I don't know if there's another open starting job, certainly not on the offense, if Eric Fisher's healthy at left tackle. On defense, maybe a third linebacker, maybe a third corner. But, yeah, to me, That's absolutely vital, especially when you're a defense that doesn't want to commit a lot of resources to the pass rush. You just don't. So, you know, that's something that I feel like is a huge, huge storyline. You know, Jim Irsay spoke to the media late last week and was just beyond bullish on this defense. And it just seems like he's got a lot more faith in that ingredient of a pass rush than I do right now.
You know, the thing you talk about, DeForest Buckner, and here's where I see a outside pass rush being so important with a guy like DeForest Buckner coming up the middle, is you've got to have somebody coming from the edge that at least has the threat to turn that corner and force the quarterback to step up in the pocket. And I think that's where DeForest Buckner comes into play. That if you can get that quarterback to step up in the pocket with DeForest Buckner and the long reach that he has with that wingspan, he can get a hand in there. He can put up a hand to cause interference with the pass. There's a lot of things that he can do, but you've got to have that threat coming from the outside to get the quarterback uncomfortable and stepping up in the pocket. The pass rush, really, a lot of it starts and ends with getting that guy on the edge. And I'm not sure exactly who it's going to be or how it's going to be for the Colts this year. I want to talk about quarterbacks right now around the NFL, because the storylines obviously are circulating around a couple of top-name quarterbacks. First, Aaron Rodgers and his Instagram post where he put out the Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen photo. Devontae Adams also put it out at the exact same time. There were some that thought that might be signs he is going to retire. I think it's a sign he's going to play. I think this means one more year together. What did you take of it? It was somewhat cryptic. How did you interpret it?
You said you're talking about Rodgers in that photo?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, me trying to predict what a guy is thinking who doesn't talk to his family, you know, boy, I think betting, you know, on golf is difficult, Brent. I don't know if I can go down that path. I mean, it sounds like by, you know, what you're seeing the reports late this afternoon is he's going to play and he's going to report. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen in 2022. And whatnot there, obviously Devontae Adams and that extension. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a weird, weird dude. And honestly, you know, to be elite, you kind of got to be pretty weird. I mean, Tom Brady in his, you know, own right is weird. I mean, Peyton Manning's a bit quirky. I think, you know, Manning's probably the most normal of those three, but you're just wired differently. Rodgers is really wired differently. And he's frustrated, clearly, by how they've handled personnel, by how they handled, you know, the NFC title game and things like that. So I get it as well, and I just think also in today's world, there's now easier access for us to see their frustration. You know, Peyton Manning 10 years ago was pretty frustrated by how things were kind of handled here in Indianapolis late in his career. Well, then it was the voice of Bob Kravitz for him to really voice his frustration. Nowadays, it's just a click of a button or cryptic whatever, social media. So I do think we see it a little bit more as well. But selfishly, I want to see him play because he's a hell of a talent, and it sounds like that's going to be the case.
Deshaun Watson, the Houston Texans have basically said they're taking calls. Is there anybody that's crazy enough to take on Deshaun Watson right now with everything that he's facing as far as criminal and everything else?
Man, that's a great question. You better have the full file and really trust, you know, legal-wise, what the advice is you're getting. Desperate, you know, a team desperate in the NFL? Yes, there's a lot of teams desperate in the NFL. But that desperate, man, I mean, it mortgages your franchise. You're committing to Deshaun Watson all in on that front for the next, you know, X amount of years. So you better know something that, you know, I don't know, the legal system in Houston apparently doesn't know right now. I mean, obviously, Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be with the Texans anymore, so you better feel super confident in that. So I can't see it happening before week one. And but at the same time, I mean, his talent, you know, you can't really argue with. But I think a little bit of this case has got to play out. You know, are you getting into settlements? You know, civil, criminal. You know, I don't know exactly, but I think some of it has to play out before you see him move.
When you talk about teams though that are desperate for a quarterback, I don't know that there really is that many. I mean, Denver, maybe Philadelphia, kind of depends on where they're at in their belief in Jalen Hurts. And then the next question is the third most desperate team for a quarterback New England?
Well, I guess I would counter with this, Brett. Desperate for a quarterback of his talent. I mean, sure, there's a lot of teams that you can sit there and say, yeah, we feel like we, you know, we kind of got the guy. Like, you know, what are the New York Giants saying? What's the Washington football team saying? You know, you kind of go down the list a little bit. Like, are the Detroit Lions really that obsessed with you know, Jared Goff? I feel like I could find about 10, 12 teams that would say, oh, Deshaun Watson's available? I mean, for the San Francisco 49ers, wouldn't you be all over that unless you're sitting there thinking to yourself, you know, Trey Lance is 100% the guy? And then, you know, are you moving that guy? You know, if you're the Jets or you're the 49ers, you sit there and say, hey, here's Zach Wilson, here's Trey Lance, what are you giving us in return? Like, what type of trade package would that look like for Deshaun Watson? You know, it sounds like a lot of video game type trades, but I really think that is what the conversation would be like. So, yeah, I mean, desperate for a quarterback, yeah, I mean, you do bring up a good point. But again, desperate for a player with his talent, you know, I think there's a lot of teams that would be knocking on the door for him.
Yeah, I guess I kind of separate the two of desperate for a quarterback or interested in upgrading at the position because, you know, I think they all have their guy, but a talent like Deshaun Watson just doesn't become available that much. But you've got to take a lot of baggage with it and a lot of faith and trust that this will all go away that surrounds Deshaun Watson. All right, we got to run. We're out of time, Kevin, but always enjoy having you jump on with us. Enjoy camp. I know it'll keep you very busy out there at Grand Park, but we look forward to the start of Colts camp and, of course, the start of the season coming up shortly thereafter.
I appreciate that, Brett. You guys have a great week.
You too. That is Kevin Bowen joining us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Coming up in our next hour, it's our weekly visit with Anthony Contreras. And don't forget, we've got the Tin Caps Rooftop Party. It's a party in the treetops with the Tin Caps coming up on Thursday night, August 12th. We want you to join us. It's an all-inclusive ticket that's available right now at 1380thefan.com. You can also get access by linking through our Facebook or Twitter page. But go ahead and get your ticket. It's $49.50, but here's what you get. Check this out. You'll get the ticket for the famed rooftop section of Parkview Field, that section up by the scoreboard where everybody seems to always be having so much fun, but you can't figure out how to go up there and be a part of it. Well, we're inviting you. So now you've got a chance to be a part of the party up on the rooftop. All you can eat food. That's right. It is a all you can eat food buffet plus draft beer and bottled wine will be included. A special edition 1380 The Fan Tin Caps Treetops Party commemorative t-shirt. So you'll get to leave with a shirt. You get to enjoy draft beer, bottled wine, and all-you-can-eat food buffet. A baseball game. You'll get to sit in a section you normally can't get a ticket for. Hey, this is a pretty special one-night event with proceeds benefiting Cancer Services of Northeast Indiana. Don't miss out. Get your tickets now. There's a limited supply, so you should hurry up and get them bought right now. 1380thefan.com. It will link you directly to the Tin Caps ticketing page that is set up specifically for this event. It's the 1380 The Fan Tin Caps Treetops Party with me and the Sports Rush coming up Thursday night, August 12th, presented by Glenbrook Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Get your tickets now. We'll see you on August 12th. Coming up in our next hour, speaking of the Tin Caps, we've got manager Anthony Contreras will join us coming up at 5:20. Stick with us. It's time to put Monday in the books and head home for a Monday night with the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.